Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 1601, slide. Visible translated text is as follows: the head man, and me and these other two fellows were standing in the waiting room, and he reads this affidavit over to me, or pretended to read it to me. Whatever he read sounded like the first affidavit I made for him, and I signed it. And after I signed, he says, "This is your affidavit there, bud." And I said, "Yes, sir." And I held up my right hand and swore to it, and he says, "All right, goodbye." And they passed by Mr. Dot Burke, and I going back into the cook room, and Mr. Dot Burke never said anything more to me at all, and he tells Mr. Dorsey to discharge me on my job, and Mr. Dot Dorsey said when he said right now, "The reason I quit the book and Greg Hardware Company, Mr. Burke said he would get me a better job. While I was at the hospital, Mr. Dot Burke called on me and asked me if I was suffering for anything, and I told him no. I don't remember how many times he come out there to see me, but he come once or twice before I got my senses. Mr. Dot Burns come to see me while I was in the hospital, and he read the affidavit to me that I had made to Mr. Dot Burke, comma, and he asked me if it was true, and I told him yes, and he just went over a whole lot of questions that Mr. Dot Burke had gotten. That was while I was sick in the hospital. The affidavit those two fellows got me to sign over at the terminal station was already typewritten when they brought it over there. I didn't have to say anything. The only paper that was written in my presence was that one I made at home. All the others that I have signed, which have been at different times, were already written when they were brought to me, and they read something to me. I suppose they read what was in the papers. The first affidavit I made to the officers and in court is the truth, and all the others are false. R. L. Graham, sworn for the state. I have known Albert McKnight for over a year. I did not know where he lived, or for whom his wife worked, or that he knew anything about anybody related to Leo M. Frank in any way, until one day I happened to hear Albert make a remark to another Negro about Frank. That attracted my attention, and I asked what he knew about Frank. He said he ought to know. His wife had been working for Frank about a year and a half. I went on to question him to tell me what he knew about it. Albert said he was at the Selig home when Mr. Dot Frank came in at lunchtime, said Frank came in the dining room, went up to the sideboard, looked in the sideboard, stayed in there a few minutes, and turned.